Listen to me. By the way, thank the band. Tell them how much you love them. Ooh, Jesus. Listen, when the Spirit of God is in a place, and I know He's with us all and He don't leave us or forsake us, and we've all declared that. But listen, it's really, really important that an anointing, when it comes, and it doesn't have to come. I mean, I gotta be honest with you. A lot of times, the anointing really is not welcomed in a lot of churches. It could be because of religion, and all of you know that religion is a traditional way of how we grew up serving Him, and that might not be just the greatest. Because if it's done because of tradition, and this is the way grandmama did it, and that's the way mama did it, and that's the way I'm going to do it, well, then it could become religion to where you aren't being led by the Spirit of God. You know, when He told Joshua to go around that wall, the wall of Jericho, how many times? Seven? Think about that. They probably had never done such a thing before. And getting around it the first time, they probably was okay, but then as they kept going, they probably felt goofy. Like, why are we doing this? How about Noah building an ark when it had never rained before? And by faith, he's just having to trust God and build this big boat. And I can imagine the people, and we're seeing it in today's world, the people that were making fun of him. Wow, he's lost it. Alzheimer's. What is he doing? Didn't make sense to their natural minds. And then, one day, the rain came. And then it made sense to them. And here a man had to do it all by faith. But I see a little bit of, or a lot of persecution to a believer in today's world. But when the anointing is here like it is this morning, you better tap into it. Because it'll change your life. It'll set you free from a lot of bondage. Because see, that's what the anointing does. It breaks the yoke of bondage. And what are you bound by? I mean, I don't know. I know what tries to bind me. Thank God for the word that the Bible says what's bound in heaven is bound on earth. What loosed in heaven is loosed here on earth. So I loose the Spirit of God to open up your minds so that you can receive whatever you need to receive from God. If it's healing, if it's amended relationship, if it's finances, well, it doesn't matter what it is. God wants to do it in here if we would just dare to believe. Amen. Appreciate the band. And as Ricky came to me last week and says, man, there's a shaking going on right now. And that's a good thing, y'all. Man, some people come to our church trying to figure out what a cowboy church is. Do you have to be a cowboy or cowgirl to come? And you find out that the reason God started the cowboy movement in the 70s was because He knew in the last days that there would need to be a group, a culture of people, a Western-minded person that is not afraid to be persecuted, that is not afraid to stand up for the principles of God, even in the United States of America. And so, since Cowboy Church started in May, it'll be 18 years. God's done some mighty things. We see lots of people saved at this church constantly, but I just don't want them born again and putting that helmet of salvation on, and then the rest of their body is naked. No, I want to put on the full armor of God. And we've got to probably get out of a little old religious ways. You know, I told them when we started church, growing up in lots of churches, I said, number one, I don't want to ever have a sign on the back of the church that that gives the attendance and the offering that came in the week prior. I don't want to ever hand out a bulletin, man. I don't know, and not that those things are bad, but what they have caused in a lot of ways is just a traditional way of serving, and we've just we've continued those ways. No, I want people to come to Cowboy Church with the freedom to come as however they're dressed and just to come to receive from a great, wonderful, gracious God. And then if we need to start a little Facebook newsletter, we'll do it. Everybody's on Facebook. Welcome to all the new people here. Appreciate you coming. We just want to honor you. Hopefully when you came in, you got a visitor packet. Do we still do that? Okay, thank God. Sometimes when I'm gone, I have to ask, do we still do what we normally used to do? Is it a tradition? You know? But what we like to do here is kind of catch you if we've never seen you before. Maybe you've never seen me before, because I'm gone a little bit from this church. But I don't know, God's working it out where it looks like I'm going to be here quite a bit here, maybe till summer and then it, off and on. If you've never been to Cowboy Church, it's an honor to have you. Would you mind allowing us just to welcome you the way I think every church should welcome new people? Because, listen, we're family. We need to be in the family of God, not segregated. Amen? Not cliquey. I know everybody is concerned about cliques, and there's a clique because they sit over here or they sit there. No, and there might be a clique here and there, but you know what? We don't have time for cliques. We need to be all a family. We need to receive each other as a family. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you mind just right where you're at to raise your hand and let us just welcome you with a big old round of applause? Thanks for coming. Appreciate you. Thanks for coming. Thank y'all. Honored to have you. Thanks, little man. Appreciate you. If you didn't get a visitor packet, make sure you get one right now, because there's been so many come by, it seems like even at the end of, when we get started that we might miss you. But if you got a visitor packet, inside it, I want you to reach into it and grab that pen and grab the visitor card. And I want you to just begin to fill it out for us. Let us know how you heard about us. And then put your name and number there, because we'll call you one time just to do a simple thing. Welcome you. Thank you for coming. But listen to me. Put your real number on there, okay? We don't harass you, and we only call you one time, and if you don't answer, we'll leave a message. But listen, that's a good time to ask questions about our church. It's real simple. We believe the Bible from the front to the back. We are a Spirit-filled church, thank God. But what's cool is then you can also let us know if you need some prayer. And if you do, we got a great prayer team. As you can tell, this church is growing, and it's growing pretty fast. The more people come, this place is going to be totally packed one day, and I call them in Jesus' name, because it's time that we have freedom and truth in the church. Not perfection yet. I mean, we're trying to attain that. But thank God that people come. So, church, would you welcome the new people again one more time? Go ahead, fellas. Clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. I saw a scripture found in the book of Proverbs. Let me see if I can remember where it is. I think it's in, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And I like what it says, verse 24 and 25. I like it out of the Amplified, because in verse 24, Proverbs chapter 11. Now, new people, You have to understand, 18 years ago when we started this one, we had just left Church at the Barn in Lubbock and turned it over to some pastors. And God, I was primarily ministering a lot in the southern region of college, and primarily a lot of college rodeos, etc. And I was having to drive from Lubbock, or Leveland, where we lived, all the way to Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we had already turned this church over to Ted and Jan. We knew that God wanted us to come this direction and start another church. And we moved here, and we began with a camp meeting at the Smiling V Ranch, which is now a Boy Scout place. The Boy Scouts bought it. And we was in a big pavilion. We had a camp meeting. I think 60, 70 people came each night, give or take. And I asked them, hey, we're not interested in starting a church on a Sunday, but I want to start an outreach. Are y'all interested? And, I mean, it started on a Monday night, and people started to come. And it was amazing how many people got saved. Well, about a year and a half of it is when then we saw that those people weren't going to other churches, because an outreach is to get them saved, get them into other churches in our community. And when you start seeing the most of the group call a Monday night service their church, then I knew we needed to transition into a Sunday service. Well, then, man, they came from everywhere. We put up a tent right over here where AJ and Joni's RV is. And it's a big tent. I think it sat maybe 150 people, and or a couple of hundred. There would be so many people if it was 70 or 80 degrees that they would sit out into the trees. There would be so many people coming. And then God began to build this church debt-free to the glory of God. But when we started it, the Lord told me not to take a salary at our church. And here's why. Because I started studying things like this in Proverbs 11 and verse 24 that says, there are those who generously scatter abroad and yet increase more. It's just talking about, you know, how Galatians talks about, you know, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, that's what you reap. It's a principle called sowing and reaping, guys. You got to get into it. It's the greatest way to live. If you sow finances into good ground, like a good church or a ministry or whatever, I'm telling you, you'll know if they're living right and they're doing right at that church, because you will be ultimately blessed. Because you have to start understanding that this word is saying those who generously scatter abroad increase more. There are those that withhold more than is fitting and what is justly due, but it results only in want. You see where the principle is? Verse 25, the liberal person shall be enriched, and he who waters shall himself be watered. The point of giving to the Lord and tapping into the principles of how what God created. He didn't create us only to labor and work and spend hours and hours and hours at a job. No. He actually created us to sow. That's why you go to a job, and if you're a good hand, I'm telling you, you'll have increase like you've never seen. If you're just, it's agony and defeat to get to the job, well, it could be a couple of things. You could be somewhere where you're not supposed to be, where you're not called to be, or maybe we just need to change our attitudes and just thank God that you have a job. Oh, say it louder than that, y'all. There's a lot of people that don't want to work, but thank God for the word. If you tap into this word, man, God will bless you. So when you come and give in this bucket, or you give in that bucket, I want you to give with that heart, the heart of praise. Just thank you, Lord, that I'm able to give unto you. And then watch what God does. He'll open up favor, blessing, promotion. Not the church just trying to get your money, or the pastor trying to get rich and buy a Rolls Royce. That's what I heard growing up. And I still want a Rolls Royce. I think I'd look cool, my hair flowing in the wind in a convertible. Well, anyway. All right, y'all come give with a big old shout of praise. Hey, if you're a visitor and you got that visitor card, send it down here with someone or bring it up. Be an honor to put it in there and we'll get to know who you are. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, if y'all will get the communion and just start getting in your spot, please. Oh, I love you, Lord. Thank you for giving. Glory be to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the seed that the people gave to you. Father, I realize that there's a responsibility when we receive it as a church, that one thing we do is we handle finances with integrity. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that you would prove the word back to the people that gave. And you'd give it back to them as Luke's gospel says, when they give, it'll be given unto them, pressed down, shaken together, running over with a good measure. And it'll cause people to give unto them. So, Father, thank you for the gifts, the seed that they gave graciously to you, sir. God bless them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Real fast, we're going to take communion. And as the ushers, by the way, would y'all just thank the ushers and tell them how much you love them? I want to honor them. Thank you, Brandon. I want to honor all the ushers that do so much. There's ones outside. When we built this place, it was going to be like another 100 or 200,000 to put in a sprinkler system. And we were like, do we have to? I mean, these country folks, they know how to run. Anyway, and we've got an alarm system, smoke detectors, all that stuff. And they said, well, here's what we want you to do. If you'll build a fire lane out in the front, and then position someone in front just to walk around the church every now and then, just check it for us. Well, that could be kind of confusing when you're a Spirit-filled church because, man, when the Spirit of God comes, man, the Holy Ghost, like a cloud, might come in here and go out the rafters. You might think it's a fire. Maybe it is a fire. Can you say fire? Anyway, so they walk around and just check for us, but really, that's not what they're doing totally. It's amazing that churches now in the United States has to have security. And so there's usually a couple of guys outside, and I know they can hear us from a speaker. So I just honor those folks outside that are protecting us. And this is probably just spread the word, guys. This is not a place that you want to come in and cause any problems in, because there's a lot of people packing and you don't know it. The reason we take communion is to remember, as you read in 1 Corinthians 11, is to remember the broken body and remember His shed blood. What does it mean? What does it represent to us as a believer? I want all the kids to stay in here before they're dismissed to go to the kids' church and the youth group, because they need to start learning and remembering what Jesus did by dying and being crucified and all the pain that He took. And one of the things is healing. We're remembering last month we talked about the love of God. I mean, how important is it for us to remember God's kind of love? Not a human love. I mean the agape love of God. Well, this week, I just want us to remember why Jesus died. And one of the reasons is because of healing. When you go back over here to 1 Peter, and you don't have to turn there, but I just want to read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Now, we don't have to, you know, talk about the body representing the blood, the bread, and the blood representing this juice. What we really need to do is remember that the Bible says in 24th verse of the second chapter of 1 Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, if you want me to take out the these, thous, and thuses from the King James, all it's saying is by his wounds, remember the stripes that he took with that whip, the cat of nine tails, it sliced, it striped his body. Matter of fact, it was designed to just tear the flesh. And Jesus took that on his back. So when it says stripes, that's what that's meaning. By whose wounds, in the Amplified, you have been healed. The reason we're taking communion is just to help us remember why Jesus shed his blood and broke his body. Because by his stripes you're healed. Amen? By his stripes we're healed. So when we take and eat this bread and drink of this juice, do it in remembering that by his stripes I'm healed. Amen? Let's do it. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. We just praise you for babies that have lungs. Amen. Amen. Hey, part of it. If you'll just pass those cups through the inside. Thank you, Betsy.
You're welcome.
Let me let the guys get free of any danger of kids being dismissed. It's going to be fun. If you're a youth or you're a kid 11 and under, number one, they have an incredible time going to kids' church. You should always send your kids to get taught. Mary, oh, she does a great job of letting them have fun, but they also learn the Word of God. Amen. And then our awesome youth pastors with 12 and to you know, seniors in high school, you need to go. You need to go and let God do some great things. So, since everybody's already leaving, let's dismiss them with a big old round of applause. Amen? Glory be to God. All right, everybody that's left. How many brought your Bibles? Everybody raise your word up and let me see all the Bibles. I want to see the Word of God. Get used to bringing the Bible, your word, to church with you. There's a reason that God hasn't had me put the Bible and the words up on the screen. And it's because we've gotten so used to not carrying that word with us. And I don't know very many scholars of the Bible that have the whole thing memorized. But we know a lot of it. So I want you to get used to bringing that Bible with you. We have a cowboy paperback Bible that you can throw on the dash of your truck. Because we're Christians. And Christians live by the Word of God. Amen? Not by being good. Not by doing great things for people. You need to do that because that's the character of a Christian. But we bring the Word of God because that's the only truth that you and I have, and the Bible says it makes us free. Amen? And so just get used to carrying your Bible with you. Dads and moms, get used to having your kids bring their Bibles, because again, what you're training them up to do is to get into that Word maybe before they have to come to mom and dad when they get into college. I've got one in college, and it's pretty neat when she calls. There's times when she calls, "I just need to come home." And we're like, get here immediately. I'm coming to get you. You know how it is with moms and dads. But there's also a time when they grow up that if they'll just get into the Word of God and find out what the Bible says, man, it has set them free even a lot more than mom and dad can, because they got to start living by it. I want you to turn your Bible to Acts chapter 3. As you know from last week, we began to continue to talk about faith. And I'm going to show you a few things, about four things in the book of Acts chapter 3 that I believe God wants to get into our spirit man so that we can live a more prosperous life on this earth like heaven. All of our Catholic born-again people always have been taught the prayer Jesus taught all of us, and then it spilled over into the Protestant church. Our Father, say it with me, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom. Think about that though. Don't just confess it because you got it memorized, but thy kingdom come, thy, say it, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it goes on, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us of our sins, where we've sinned against you, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. But really what God is trying to say here in the prayer is His kingdom come, His will be done on this earth like heaven. Okay? On this earth like heaven, we have to live by the principle called faith. And according, and I mean, I'm not preaching anything different than I'll preach in front of a couple of hundred ministers over tonight and Monday and Tuesday in San Antonio. Because obviously, it's important that we remember the principles, the basics of how you and I live as a believer in Christ. If you're not born again, you're going to be today in Jesus' name. I confess it. All of the rest of us that are born again people, and Jesus is the Lord of our life, the only way to live is by faith. We don't have to go back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 that tells us what faith is. But it's always good to remember it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in other words, in cowboys' terms, we have to believe in a God that we cannot see. We got to believe in His Word that will not, it'll be, it's just a paper book if we don't be a doer of that Word. I'll never forget, they asked me to come and minister in a church. In 2 years, they went through 25 pastors. 2 years. And so they asked me to come and minister to the body, and I'm like, are you sure? Do you know what you're getting into? Because I'm going to share this Word. So the Lord had me, and I've told this story before, the Lord had me get a cowboy Bible, a paperback Bible. And I said, it's an honor to be here. I want to tell you that God is good. His mercy endures forever. He loves you no matter what. But I realize that y'all have gone through lots of pastors in this church. I realize also the reason could be some things like, maybe from what I hear, some of you don't believe in forgiveness. And if you don't believe in forgiveness, not a problem. Let's just take that part out of the Bible. And I ripped pages out and threw them on the floor. Now, I almost got killed right then. Because all the elderly goes, "Oh, how dare him rip up the holy word of God." I just threw them on the ground. Because if you don't believe in forgiveness, then let's just take that part out of the Bible. Now, there's some of you that don't believe in healing. I was raised in some denominations that would declare that God doesn't heal all of us because so-and-so didn't get healed. And I didn't have time to explain, but look, the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. If you don't believe God will heal you, then it won't happen. I said, but if you don't believe in healing, not a problem. Let's just take that part out of the Bible. And I ripped it and threw it in the ground. Oh, there's some of you that don't believe in that tithing stuff. Giving. Not a problem. Let's just take that part out of the Bible. And I threw it on the ground. And I did some other examples that the Lord, that He brought to my mind. But by the end of it, all I had was just the paper back with no scriptures in it. The point is that Bible will mean nothing to you unless you live by faith. Okay? So, we came over here last week to Acts chapter 3, and we began to talk about how Peter and John, when they were going about 3 o'clock in the afternoon to the temple to pray, they see this lame man, a crippled man, at the gate. We know the gate is called Beautiful. And he's there laying, begging for people to give him what the Bible calls alms. It's a great way to give. Just someone that's in need, you give them alms. Oh man. The man sees Peter, sees John, and begins to yell out to him, "Have mercy on me!" Peter and John, after the guy begs them to give him something, remember what the Bible says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give you. I'll give it to you. I don't have any money, but I've got something better." And remember, then he said, "Get up, rise up and walk." And it was, he was healed miraculously. Now, a lot of these things we've seen, in the Bible, but why haven't we seen a lot of these things in the church? Well, there might be some things that we just need to get over with. And I believe that God's gonna hopefully open up our hearts so that we can really start experiencing and have the boldness to pray for people and see the manifestations of healing, not just physical body, but lots of other areas, emotional healing. I mean, wow, 3 years of a pandemic. And most of all you guys know, unless you're new here, that I've been preaching against the spirit of fear for all 3 years. Because fear is the opposite of faith. So you see what the devil's doing in the body of Christ? If he can get you into fear, you cannot live by faith. You're gonna have to start operating by that spirit, the spirit of fear. And even these vaccines are all, the thing that I've always said from the beginning is, do not do anything because of fear. But man, they're on TV constantly. talking about fear. It hurt my heart when I read today about a man in Canada that just, you know, he studied. He believed that natural immunity was way better for him. Listen to me. Didn't God create this body with an immune system? I'm not against helping it, but not being made to do it. I'm against that, of course. Well, he lost his children through a divorce because he was unvaccinated. Just all of this is because of fear. And if fear is constantly bombarded on all of us, it is the devil's design so that you and I don't live by the principle of faith. And we'll have to live by fear. So I'm going to stay on this against the spirit of fear, since God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And fear will cause you not to have a sound mind. I mean, you're going to be afraid of everything. Well, I'm not afraid of a stinking virus. You know why? Because I serve the name that's above the name coronavirus. Okay. Now, I've always said, if you've got peace about taking the vaccine, then take the thing. But by golly, a government shouldn't be making us take the thing. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 3, because there's something about standing on the principles of God as a believer in Christ. And I know, guys, man, preachers, my Lord, it better not be the ones I'm going to minister to this weekend. They better not be some old pansy preachers. Because the flock doesn't need a bunch of pansy preachers. We need some preachers not scared of maybe being persecuted by the media or anybody else. I mean, people film, we're live right now, and people are watching us all over the country. And I am not afraid to preach this Bible. I am not going to be in fear just because I believe in the principles of God. Just because I believe in marriage between a man and a woman, I'm not going to be afraid to preach this stuff. Because the body really is backed off. And that's why prayer was taken out of school. And we've seen the decay of our country because of it. So we got to live by faith. Let's live by faith, man. All right, look. Let's look at some things. Now, verse 6, Acts chapter 3, of course, is where Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I have given thee, whatever. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And we all know he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately, glory be to God, immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. He leaped up, stood, walked, entered with them into the temple. Remember, what were they going in the temple to do? Pray. Our only communication with God. Praying. It's funny, y'all have heard me say it before, but it's funny growing up, because one of the preachers would go, "Brother Don, would you just lead us in prayer and dismiss the body?" Don would get up, and I knew Don, because Don had the biggest Texas accent that you could ever have. But for some reason, when Brother Don got up to pray, his whole voice changed. It got deeper. "Most heavenly Goddeth up in heaveneth." He started using the these, thous, and thuses, that he didn't talk that way. He just thought that that's the only way to communicate to a holy God. No. You communicate him the way you actually talk. Just leave out the cuss words. I mean, you just need to say, Father, I need you, sir. He's your Father, you see. Okay? All right. Immediately, the feet and the ankle bones received strength. Leaping stood up, walked, entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. Glory be to God. And all the people saw this. Pay attention here. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10. Here's the first thing we need to learn. And they knew the people saw him. They had seen him by the gate beautiful for a long period of time. All the people saw him. They knew, verse 10, that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Here's the first thing I want to hopefully deliver to you to start thinking about. How do you see yourself? Because see, they saw this man as a cripple. They confessed it over and over and over and over. You know, I see a lot of people today confessing things like my cancer, my disease. Well, really, it's not yours if you're born again. That's why Jesus died, but it's going to take faith to believe it. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself ugly? Do you see yourself insecure? Do you see yourself not healed? Are you constantly moved by what you see, feel, taste, touch? All those five physical senses? Or are you going to see yourself now how this crippled man saw himself healed, praising God? There's something about how we see ourselves, because how we see ourselves is going to determine how we go forward in life. If we see ourselves just broken, can't ever find the right relationship, it's always in trouble, rocky, bad things are happening, there's abuse, etc. If we see our finances of just, man, I can't ever get ahead. I'm always paycheck to paycheck. Matter of fact, I'm behind most of the time. And I just don't see myself ever getting ahead. Well, you're going to remain there for a long period of time until you start seeing yourself as the woman or the man of God that He's called you to be. And see, all these things are going to take faith to believe it. But let me give you some advice. The way you start seeing yourself, how God sees you, a creation of Him, in the image of Him, in His likeness, an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror because God loves you. I mean, you are someone in Christ Jesus and you deserve the best. You are worthy. You're worthy to be a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You can hold your head up, not being puffed up, haughty, proud, better than someone, holier than thou. That's not what this is talking about. The devil has used that over and over, and the church has agreed with it. And they've just seen themselves as not worthy. A little old ant in the kingdom. Little old piece of dirt. Well, you're not a piece of dirt. You are someone in Christ Jesus. You are not just a servant of the Most High God. You are a son and a daughter of Him. And a son and a daughter of God has some keys to the kingdom. I mean, they get to stand in the presence of God. An angel does not get to stand in the presence of God. Man, they got to bow down and kneel constantly. No, you and I get to stand in God's presence. Or we can sit down, we can stand up, we can sit down. We're made in His image. How do you see yourself? You see yourself as an old drunk? Someone that's just hooked on drugs and can't get off of them? Or are you going to see yourself as a God-fearing, awesome, gifted man and woman of God? Because all these people saw this crippled man And they saw him that way for a long period of time. All you political people out there running for office, you've got to see yourself as an advocate of the Lord Jesus Christ with the anointed power of God to change your community for the better. You've got to see those people serving God and doing the right thing. Because if you don't, and all you can see is the bad, then that's all you talk about. And you need to start talking some good things. You see, how do you see yourself? Goes on in verse 12 and says, When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" The second thing I want you to see is, do you have confidence in what God has done for you? See, a lot of people don't have confidence in what God's done for them. They're in their minds wondering, is this going to last? You know, people get healed, and then you always have to remember, the adversary, the devil, is seeking, roaming like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. I mean, that's his job. Get your feet out of the way. Because that's what he's doing. No, I can't mess with her. She's a woman of God. You see? There he is. He can't hear me.
I can.
I think I can mess with this one.
You always do.
Matter of fact, it's the devil now. I'm going to bring sickness on your body.
No, you ain't.
Did you hear him? He said, no, you ain't.
God ain't going to let you.
So the devil, well, I can't mess with him. No, I can't mess with him.
Behind me, Satan.
Well, I'm not the devil. I mean, but that's the right thing to say, right? Because that's what he's doing.
Get out of my
house. He's looking for that one. Got her. Okay, never mind. She gave me that woman attitude. You know, their neck, I don't know how y'all. What'd you say to me? There's got to be someone. Yeah, it's always on my left over here. Yeah. Oh, follow me, camera. Because they're usually in the back. They're the back because they want to stay far away from the spitting of the anointing up front. So they get back here. Here. Can't mess with that guy. Oh, it's an usher. Because they're always on their phones not paying attention. Let me see if I can find one.
Not me.
Oh, the administrator. I can make her mad. Can I? Backing up. Do you get the drift? He's looking whom he can devour. But when the believer knows who they are in Christ, and they speak the word of God, they don't call the banker first. No, they call on God. Father, I need some help here. They don't call the doctor first. Thank God for all my doctor friends and nurses and et cetera. There's a bunch in here. I think it would help them out If we would just go to the great physician first. Because you've got to have confidence that the Word of God works. Oh, let me tell you what happens though. I'll tell you what happens. The enemy then comes and he reminds you of all the things you did back when. You remember them?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he tried to do to me anyway. And then he rehearses them in my mind. The party was at my house in college. I'm a fun guy. And, oh my Lord, I ain't got much hair up there. I'll never turn the back to my back again. I saw stuff I hadn't seen before. Oh, I forgot where I was at there for a second. Yeah, the devil tries to remind me constantly. You remember what you did for 2 years in college? I mean, your dad was a pastor. You was the church kid. Of course, everybody confessed what they confessed to all pastors' kids. Oh, they're the wildest. I made them right for 2 years. You see, and then the devil, in your mind, you're rehearsing all this stuff, all the things you did. When that day I got on my knees, 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas, and said, God, forgive me. Forgive me, sir. I know better. I know better. Right then, God forgave me. Remember, He took that sin and threw it in the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers it no more from the east, as far as from the east to the west. But the devil kept bringing it to me. Therefore, I would lose confidence. I wonder if I'm going to stay healed. I wonder if I'm going to remain in joy. I wonder if my marriage is going to stay strong in the Lord. In the might of His Word. And then all of a sudden, because of the enemy bringing back your past, you start confessing a few negative things. Oh, don't seem like this tithing stuff's working. Well, how long you been doing it? 6 months. Well, how old are you? 65. Oh, you've only been tithing for 6 months? And you're expecting it to work after not doing it for all those years? You see what happens? And you start losing confidence. Or then a trial and tribulation will come and it's just something else. They're trying to rob me and steal my blessing. You see, do you have confidence in what God has done for you? Will it last? By faith it will. Look at the third one real fast. We come on down and verse 13 says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers had glorified His Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when He was determined to let Him go. In the Amplified, I like how it talks about has glorified His servant and Son Jesus, doing Him this honor. You know, when God blesses you, here's the third thing. Does all the honor go to God? Or do you get a little bit of it? No, man. What they were trying to teach these people is, yes, this man got miraculously healed. Glory be to God. Stay in confidence. Stay in confidence in faith. Don't you waver from what you believe. You stay in confidence, and then number three, you honor God. All the honor goes to Him. You see. But look at the fourth one real fast and we'll close. Because verse 14 says, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. This is when he's talking about Jesus. Whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Verse 16. And His name, Oh, looky here. Through and by faith in his name has made this man whom you see and recognize well and strong. Yes, the faith which is through and by him, Jesus, has given this man this perfect soundness of body before all of you. The fourth thing that you need to get a hold of is what Jesus' name means to you. Is it the name above all names? Do you have that faith? This man was healed, glory be to God. And he remained in confidence to not wonder if he was going to lose his healing because of some sin he might have committed. There's a whole denomination that believes if you sin and you die, you go to hell because you don't have time to ask God to forgive you of all your sin. What a lie. What that means is that they don't have confidence in what Jesus did by dying on the cross and shedding the blood that covers a multitude of sin. Now, I'm not giving you a right and permission to sin, but don't take that great attribute from Jesus and what he did. It's all power, and when he shed his blood, it covers you no matter what you do. You're already forgiven before you do it. Just don't do it, because then you won't inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. What it means is you don't inherit the peace of God that passes understanding, the blessing of God, the healing of God. You won't receive any of that stuff. Matter of fact, you might die before you should. Doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. It just means that you're not inheriting God's ways of doing things. That's his kingdom, y'all. The kingdom is just simply defined God's ways of doing. Seek ye, this is Matthew, seek ye first the, say it with me, kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing things here on this earth like heaven. And then living right, righteousness, doing what's right. Living by this word of God. Not condemnation, not guilt. No, just living by God's kingdom. His way, you may not inherit God's way, God's kingdom, his ways of doing things if you're not going to live right. It opens the door for the enemy. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, give the devil no place. We give him place. What I want to get you and get to you in your minds is that if he healed this man, this crippled man, and you're believing for healing in your body, then God has to heal you if you just believe it, because he's no respecter of persons. He shows no favoritism. All you got to do is just do it by faith. What is faith? Believe in something you can't see. We see the results of God. I say it all the time. We see his creation, but we cannot see heaven because we're not there yet. We're on the earth. Okay? You've got to start thinking the earth like you think of heaven. You know, it's going to take some effort, because you're going to see with your physical eyes all the bad things that are happening around you on the earth, since we live in a sinful, around a sinful nature. But you don't have to participate, y'all. You don't have to be mad all the time. You don't have to indulge in being like someone else. If they're drinking, you're going to drink. Now, why don't you stand against those things? Why don't you find out who you are in Christ? Oh, man, I felt a lot of people's minds. Oh, brother, don't come against drinking. Jesus turned water into wine. Ha! Yeah, but most people don't treat it that way. They drink a little bit too much at times. Anyway, I won't go there because it's the end of the message. No, what I'm talking about is, let's get confident. Come on. Come on. You can do it, brother. You can do it. Oh, God loves us. I'm not talking about growing from faith to faith, and we're just not at the level of faith as these preacher people. No, I'm talking about right where you're at. Start having confidence of who you are in Christ. And stop listening to the devil. Listen, here's the last thing I'll say. You've got to live this way. God is good and the devil's bad. Say it with me. God is good. Everybody in here. Everybody. Everybody say, God is good. Ready? Go. God is good. And the devil is bad. Say it with me. The devil is bad. If you understand that, you'll serve God with your heart. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. But if you understand that He's good, then anything that is bad does not come from Him. It comes from a devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? All right. Glory be to God. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, that we receive Your Word by faith. We're doers of the Word of God. We're going to learn it. We're going to receive it. And Father, You're going to get praise because it's going to work for us. The Word will work because it's truth. All we've got to do by faith is believe it. So every word of this Bible that was inspired for a man to write by You, we're going to receive it as truth. We're going to live by it. We're going to judge it. If it's not good, we know it doesn't come from You. But everything in that Bible is good for us. And all the bad things that You try to teach us to stay away from, we know that those come from an enemy who tries to steal, kill, and destroy us. John 10:10. Thank You, sir, for the Word of God. Now, before I leave, sir, You told me to never leave a service of any kind without giving someone an opportunity to receive Your Son, Jesus, as the Lord of their life. So I'm going to do it right now, sir. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus, not a church, not a preacher, Jesus, the Son of God. If you've never made Him the Lord of your life, Romans 10 and 9 says this, if you'll confess with your mouth, y'all hear that? It's got to be out loud. I'm confessing it. You can't think it. You've got to confess it. I'm not saying you can't whisper. I'm just saying that the Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and then believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Your spirit will be born again. You're saved from hell. Glory be to God. You don't want to go there. You're saved from living on this earth without a Savior. I mean, now you get to live on the earth like heaven. You just got to learn how. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we have churches. It's we're learning how to live on this earth like we're going to live in heaven. Don't get confused. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and it caused a nature of sin to come on the earth. But that's why Jesus, we remembered it just a little bit ago, communion. That's why Jesus died. So that we didn't have to live by the nature of sin any longer. You know, the law. No, we get to live by grace and mercy and the blood that was shed for us in His broken body. We don't have to participate, y'all, with the nature of sin any longer. Matter of fact, Romans 5 says we have dominion over sin. We can say yes to it. We can say no to it. The point is, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you can cast all your cares upon Him. Is He the Lord of your life this morning? If you left and you died, your body died, you're going to live somewhere forever and ever. I'm hoping you'll choose heaven. But John 14 says there's only one way to the Father in heaven. It's through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know what would happen to you if you left this earth? If you don't, pray this prayer with all of us. All the believers in here, we're going to pray this prayer with you. Not to get saved again. Y'all know that. But we're going to pray it with someone around us that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never made Jesus your Lord, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died, pray this prayer out loud with us all. Ready? And believers, y'all just pray it with us as well. And let's say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come into my heart and save me, Jesus. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm born again. I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, heads bowed and eyes closed, just please. If you just prayed that prayer, you meant it, you gave your life to Jesus this morning, I want you to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. But there's something about being bold and not being ashamed or afraid that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, you be bold. You be bold enough to just raise your hand up and you're saying, God, I meant that prayer and I gave my life to Jesus this morning. And then just put your hand right back down. And I want you to do it with boldness and never, never, never be ashamed of acknowledging Jesus before men. At the count of three, you ready? Get that hand up if you just gave your life to Him. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Don't be afraid to get that hand up if you haven't. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. Thank God there's people, amen, that give their life to Him. Hey, I don't know about y'all, but man, this is a fun place to preach. I mean it. Matter of fact, I'm turning. Yes, sir, brother, Biker Bob.
I just want to say I got
listen.
28 years sober. Woo!
To the glory of God. That's a good testimony, huh? Amen. I remember at the College National Finals, a girl gets up and everybody else had talked about how God got them off of drugs and got them out of just bad things that they had done. And, you know, and you'll hear some stuff. And a girl gets up there and she goes, my testimony is... I've never drank or cussed. And then she sat down. I'm like, that is an awesome testimony. I mean, because I can't say that. But for Biker Bob to declare that, I'm very, very, very proud of you. Amen. I want you to know as we're dismissed that just a couple of things. On the 20th of this month, we're going to do baby dedication. If you have a baby, he's never been dedicated before, I don't care how old the kid is. If they've never been dedicated to the Lord, I didn't say baptized. At our church, we believe that they get baptized after they receive Jesus when they acknowledge that they want to make Jesus the Lord of their lives. And then they get baptized, which represents the death and burial of the old them before Christ. And then they're raised up. That's what Jesus did. He was baptized with water. And we don't sprinkle here. We dunk you. Matter of fact, there's some we dunk twice. But when they're little, we dedicate them to the Lord and pray over them. And we speak the blessing of God on them, that they'll be good-minded children when they grow up. They have the love of the Lord, that they grow up. Because listen to me, parents need some help raising these kids, not from a crazy teacher that doesn't know God, but by the church people that might see this kid when the parents are not around. Oh, my son gets it all the time. It always gets back to me, but there's, and sometimes it doesn't. They just say, hey, stop doing that. You know better. That's how we are. So we're going to dedicate babies on the 20th. We're going to do a couple of other things, ordination, but if you have a child or you know of a little one, on the 20th of this month, that's in a couple of weeks, we're going to dedicate any baby. All we need you to do is, Heidi is right there in the middle. We need you to tell her that you want to dedicate your child, your baby. And we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to pray over them and just speak life over them. Amen. The rodeo, real fast. This is the time that we start pumping the rodeo, and we need everybody's help. I have separated the steer roping that is in memory of my dad. I add $20,000 that gets... We're the third largest steer roping in the country, only behind Cheyenne, the daddy of them all rodeo, and Pendleton, Oregon. That is one of the bigger... That's where you rope on grass on a football field. It's crazy, but it's a lot of fun. We're the third largest steer roping. Well, it's so big that I had to separate, and it's on the second weekend of May, I believe, the 13th and 14th of May. And then the next weekend, we've always done an open rodeo that's just open to anybody can enter. But this year, because an open rodeo, they don't have to show up when they enter. I decided to make it a professional PRCA rodeo. And I'm adding a couple of thousand per event. I think it brought it up to about 18,000 plus 20,000. Not only does it increase everything that we do, it is, I'm telling you, everything costs more to do it a professional rodeo, but it'll be people you see at the national finals here, and then they have to show up when they enter. It's a big event. This rodeo has now grown to one of the larger, smaller rodeos in the state of Texas. They all come for it. So, sponsorship is really, really, really important. If you know of a business, you are a business, we need to start securing all the sponsorship of the rodeo. We sell buck and shoots to gates to hanging banners. We sell the mutton busting, the announcer. I mean, everything we can. We give buckles. You can be a buckle sponsor if you don't have a lot of finances. You just want to get your business out and do a $300 or $400 buckle sponsor. A banner costs like $300 to put a banner in the arena, etc. We're doing all that now. So, would you stand up, Rick? Where's Mike? Mike is in the back. And then John Clark, he goes to another church, but he's on our committee. I want you to find these guys or Heidi and just tell them, hey, I think we can help with sponsorship, or I'm going to ask, or I need a sponsor packet so I can see what everything costs. A lot of people don't have a business. They just want to bless and be a part of the rodeo. But it's coming up in the second and third weekend of May. And we're getting ready for it right now. I'm spending a little money in the arena to get some things done. And we actually need a good work day. If you're a welder, we need to get some things done that before the rodeo. I don't want to wait until April or first weekend of May. I want to get everything ready so I'm not concerned about the arena being ready. And by the way, all of us help with it. We do the largest concession stand. I mean, it needs major help. I have a lot of y'all help me in the arena setting up barrels, you know, in the barrel racing, helping carry out the bicycles that we give away in the calf scramble, 12 and under kids. I give two bicycles away each night. Well, you could be a bike sponsor, you know. You see, it takes a lot. So be praying for that. If nothing else, we'll start having some committee or some volunteer meetings probably in the month of April. We don't really need them right now, but be thinking about it. If you want to help in the concession, you can start telling Joni and AJ, and they always need some help, so it's not a lot on one person. Trust me, hundreds. There's the line will liable to go from the concession stand all the way out towards the arena. I mean, but they try to get their food out within a couple of minutes. And But it's going to take a lot of us to do it. Amen. All right, I guess that's it. Love you guys. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Hey, listen to me. Always remember, I'm usually one of the last people to leave up here. I know it's hard to get to me sometimes. I'm traveling or I'm gone. People want to have meetings with me. And sometimes it has to be over a telephone, or you've got to see one of the other ministers in our church. Don't get upset about that. I stay up here, and if you want to visit with me, I'll pray with you, I'll talk to you, and I'll stay up here until everybody else is gone. Amen? And so, if you need to be patient and wait, it's not a big deal. I love when we have our fellowship dinners, and we're going to have one real soon. I always try to be here unless I'm out of town when they schedule it. And that's a good time to just meet some of you guys. But if you want to meet me, come on down. And I'm not mean at all. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. For all the visitors, it is a pleasure. I know we're a different church. We're real. But Father, that's what we need in these days. And Father, if they pray and feel comfortable in this church, that it's what they're looking for, I just thank you, Lord, that you would plug them in, that they would plant here, because where they're planted, they grow, and they would join this work sometime. But Father, if this is not the church for them or anybody else, I ask you to find them a good Bible-believing church where they can plant in, and you can use them in that area. We love you, sir. We thank you, Lord, that you don't stay here. You never leave us. You never forsake us. For that one that gave their lives to you, God, the Bible says angels in heaven are rejoicing. We love you, sir, until we get back here for Bible study on Tuesday night or next Sunday. Thank God I get to be here. Father, you don't stay here. You never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.